Today's devotion is titled, I Want to Know Christ, Part 2. In the first part of this study, I sought to get a better and deeper understanding of the first part of Philippians 3, verse 10, which reads, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We saw how vital it was to have a close, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus. We saw how the true anchor to wanting to know Christ in an intimate way was first to ask him into our life with an open heart, to know and feel the deep love he has for us. This will be achieved by prayer and regular reading of the Bible and meditating on it, in order for God to release the deeper truths which will guide and enrich our souls. In this devotion, I want to talk about the second part of this verse, which reads, Philippians 3, verse 10, I want to know the power of his resurrection. When first reading this quote, we may think Paul wanted to experience dying and knowing Jesus to have raised him back from the dead, physically, but no. I believe there is much deeper meaning to this statement. Paul had already experienced resurrection, not in his physical body, but spiritually. In part one of this study, I reflected on Paul's dramatic encounter with Jesus, which resulted in being born again. Before Paul encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, he was a religious man, thinking he was doing God's will by persecuting and killing Jesus' followers. But that encounter with Jesus meant a fundamental turnaround in Paul's heart. He discovered what Jesus had done by dying on the cross and raising himself from the dead the third day. Jesus proved he had power over death. For each one of us who have asked Jesus into our life, Jesus does mean life, eternal life. So why does Paul say, I want to know the power of his resurrection? We need to focus on the word power. This is what we need to understand. Unless Paul understood the power of Jesus' resurrection, his preaching would be spiritually inert, ineffective. He would not draw anyone to Christ. He needed that power working in his soul and spirit. He needed the Holy Spirit to be effective in his life in order to live and work for God in a powerful and effective way. If Paul did not have the power of Jesus' resurrection through the Holy Spirit working in his heart, no one would be drawn to Paul. No one would be led to Jesus. Paul would not be empowered. He would not be a charismatic spokesman for God. The power of the Holy Spirit would not be felt by his hearers. Paul experienced that power of Jesus' resurrection working through him to the extent that he too, on one occasion, raised someone from the dead. We read in Acts 20:7-12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third floor and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until midnight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. To know we have the healing power of Jesus' resurrection and are able to reach folk from the dead, we can have the confidence to know we also have the ability to heal folk in mind, body and spirit. What a high desire Paul had to say he wanted to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. What measures are we taking by the Holy Spirit under the power of Jesus' resurrection to live and be effective servants for the Lord? In order to achieve that power in our lives, we first need to know the saving power of the resurrection in our life. We need to know in similar measure what Paul experienced on the Damascus Road. We simply need to heed what Jesus said in Luke 11:9, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Yet, we can be content just to live a God-fearing life and not be an influence for good when meeting folk who do not know or have not met Jesus. We need to have that inner power by the Holy Spirit who will awake our lethargic spirit. When we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in us, there will be a compelling desire to go and tell. Let us go back to when Jesus was 30 years of age. As soon as Jesus had been baptized, we read in Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In Mark 1:12 we read, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. In the King James Version it reads, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. In the days we live in, there is an ever-increasing need to help folk who have been chained up with drugs, alcohol, witchcraft and many other vices. Once these folk meet Jesus, they need to be set free. Remember in Luke 11:44, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus stood at the tomb bound with the grave clothes. Jesus asked the folk standing by to release him. That is part of our mission, to help folk to be set free from these bondages once Jesus has transformed their soul and spirit to follow him. Notice, after Jesus had spent 40 days in the wilderness, now physically at his weakest, after Satan unsuccessfully tempted him, what did Jesus do straight after that experience in the wilderness? We read in Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. We now read how the Holy Spirit gave Jesus that power and authority when he arrived in Galilee and visited the temple. We read in Luke 4:14-21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. When Jesus left the earth and returned to his Father in heaven, he gave his disciples a command in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now it is our responsibility to continue the work that Jesus commenced. We are to continue to do what Jesus read in Isaiah 61:1-3. We have the power to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free by the power of his wonderful name. Soon after Jesus left earth and returned to his heavenly Father, we read how the Holy Spirit fell on all the disciples of Jesus. We read in Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Before we can become fruitful, effective ministers of the gospel, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, which compels us and then propels us into the giftings and ministry Jesus has already prepared for each one of us. Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit, but he was also being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Many Christians experience that turbocharging experience soon after they are born again. Yet for myself, I experienced it when I gave my life to Jesus at the tender age of 11. When Paul visited the Corinthian church, he testifies in 1 Corinthians 2:4-6, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." As well as being empowered to serve God, we also need to keep a check on the ways we seek to live, to serve by example, to be imitators of Jesus. Paul was able to testify in 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 4-7. "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." During the time Peter lived and followed Jesus on earth, he made many mistakes, but the Lord lovingly forgave him. Peter grew through these mistakes. Later, we see what wisdom Paul had gained. It did not all happen at once. It came a step at a time. We see how the power of God had become an effective work in his life when he said in 2 Peter 1:3-11, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your call in election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Here, Paul guarantees a secure and productive, fruitful Christian life. Notice what he says. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let us remind ourselves what we need to strive at. Add to your faith goodness, to your goodness, knowledge. To your knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. As we discovered in part one of this devotion, remember everything we say and do should be anchored in and stem from Jesus' love. Are we, as well as seeking to live a godly life, we also have to contend with Satan's wily ways, trying to trick us and trip us up. We have to protect ourselves and often wage war against Satan's schemes. We read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive those thoughts to make it obedient to Christ. So, let us summarize what Paul meant when he said, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. First, Paul needed to know the strength and power and being spiritually reborn, that by the glorious resurrection that Jesus accomplished at Calvary, everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Saviour would receive eternal life. Paul could eloquently say in Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentile. Also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Seeing people born again and set free should be in the centre of our heart. It should be the highest and most important desire we have in our service for Christ. With this transforming power now in one's heart and life, we can know through the power of the Holy Spirit we will be effective in serving God and Jesus as ambassadors to preach the good news of salvation, to heal those who are sick both physically, emotionally and spiritually. As we seek to fulfill our calling in serving our resurrected, glorified Saviour, we also need to be aware of the outer forces that are bearing down on us continually. As Paul emphasizes in the third part of his statement in Philippians 3:10, the participation in his, that is Christ's, sufferings, becoming like him in his death, which we will discuss in the next and final part of these devotions. In closing, let us thank Jesus and remind ourselves of what he did for us in order for us to know the power of his resurrection and to give us eternal life, and the cost by reading and listening to the song, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save me. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're in my life.